Oh, it's the half hour of power, the best show, post show. 30 minutes of rapid fire, unscreened phone calls. And here, with the regulars, the hardcore backbone of the half hour of power. Of course, if it was Battle of the Network Stars, he would be Robert Conrad or Ed Asner.
Yeah, Robert Conrad, yeah.
AP Mike. How are you, Mike?
I'm doing good, Tom.
Good. And then to Mike's right, we have the one and only, on Twitter, you know her at Kristen Cheeks.
Yes, hey, how's it going?
It's real life, it's Kristen Bartlett. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm good.
Good. That's awesome.
Welcome.
Thank you.
What did I do? I did that. To your right, he's the guy, America's number one Radiohead enthusiast.
Oh, yeah.
Jason Gore, a.k.a. Dudio, a.k.a. Slaw Dog,
yeah.
A.k.a. Dudio Head.
Yeah, Dudio Head. I got a lot of that on Twitter tonight.
Yeah.
I did. Hello.
It's because that was half the show.
Was oh, it was? No, good.
Mentioned it. It got mentioned a couple times that you weren't at the show.
Yeah.
Pretending.
Yeah.
Like faking a sick day.
Yeah.
You can just take a sick day.
No. I was really, I was feeling bad. I was feeling under the weather.
Not into it.
Yeah, well.
Sitting it out. I'm not into it. Because there'll be times when you go on vacation, they pretend they're on vacation. I see the lights are on.
Yeah.
I see, and then somebody's just like, yeah, I just saw Jason last night. Really? He told me he was in, it's like, maybe sure it wasn't somebody else. They're like, oh, yeah, maybe it was somebody else. I'm kidding. Nobody cares more about the show than Jason. Jason cares more about the show than I do at this point. I'm half out the door.
Really?
I'm done.
You're out? You're done?
The final six episodes.
Real.
And this counts as one of them. better enjoy it.
Five more to go.
This is one. And then, this is one of the final ones. And then whatever... Best Show Bests will be one also.
Yeah.
Yep. And so they're all new.
Five to go.
And the voice who said that, they call him the good guy of the Best Show. Pat Byrne. The Best Show's good guy.
They really do, though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Who's they?
No, they do.
They do. They look at Mike. They've written Mike off.
Yeah.
Mike's just... Damned, is that a good way? Like, look, I'm with you. I'm with you. Yeah. We're in the same boat.
Yeah, we are.
Yeah.
Circling the drain?
Yeah, we're circling. Mike and Tom are circling the drain. Dudio, God knows what's going on with Dudio, but the good guy.
Yeah.
The Best Show, Pat. This is such a setup.
Gentleman.
If you've ever heard a setup for the inevitable crash down... This is it. The good guy. Like, that can only go south to be called the good guy. How are you, Pat?
I'm good. Good guy wins.
Good guy? The good guy? A good guy wouldn't be anything other than good.
No.
Let's go to the phones here. Half hour power. You're on with AP Mike, Dudio, Kristen, and Pat Byrne.
Hey, Tom. This is Aaron from Cleveland.
Who? Andrew?
Aaron.
Aaron.
Yeah.
How are you tonight, Aaron?
Good. How are you?
Good. How are things in Cleveland?
They're finally a little back to normal, which is to say not good, but, you know.
That's right. It was, you had some kind of week last week.
Yeah, Fred from Honolulu finally left, so.
Did you meet Fred?
No, I didn't.
That would have been, Fred's a good guy.
Yeah, I was just listening to last week's episode and heard that he was in Cleveland. I thought that was pretty funny. I'm wondering what podcast was he working with? Is he working on InfoWars now?
No, Fred was working on a TV. Fred was not working on InfoWars.
I could see that.
We got Frank from Honolulu here. It's very exciting.
Fred was working on a TV show that was shooting in.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Fred's not working on a podcast. Can you imagine what podcast could fly someone to another city? Please let me know. I want to know how they're doing it. Clearly, I'm doing something wrong here with this one.
So I wanted to ask you a question about the band Bronski Beat.
Yes.
Are you a Jimmy person or a John John person?
Jimmy!
Yeah.
From Somerville.
Excellent. Do you like the Communards then?
I did like the Communards. Not as much as Bronski Beat, but I liked.
But that first John John single, though, that beat hit that perfect beat is so good, though.
That's a good song. Hit that perfect beat, boy. Hit that perfect beat, right? But it doesn't come anywhere near. Run away, turn away, run away, turn away, run away.
Oh, God.
Right?
Yeah, definitely. So I have one of those, like, one of those USB turntables, but or it's, like, not a USB. It's one of those Audio Technica, like DJ tables, and you can turn it down 20 BPM instead of minus 10.
So you're slowing down your Bronski Beat records.
Yeah, if you play Small Town Boy at, like, minus 20, it's like the saddest, super vaporwave, like hip hop beat that needs to absolutely happen for like the year 2016 for like all the closeted gay rappers out there that are just desperate to make like sad 80s throwback vintage t-shirt beats.
How has that never been? I don't think anybody sampled Bronski Beat that I can think of, right?
I think I'm gonna do it for a friend in Cleveland who's gonna release a mixtape coming up later this year again.
You should.
I actually bought a copy of Age of Consent, and this I was like listening to it. My copy of not Age of Consent, but the Age of Consent, because I don't know how that played back in the 80s, but that's interesting to hear about those two albums, but. I bought it at a shop in Detroit, and when I was listening to it, I noticed a headshot photo, not a headshot, but like a wallet-sized glamour shot photo of a very handsome young man fell out of the jacket. And it must have belonged to the original owner, but written on the back of it is like a really cute, like, love message, from Todd to Andy, or no, from Andy to Todd. I was wondering if I could read it.
So in your, just to give people some context here, you, Aaron, bought a vinyl copy of Bronski Beat's Age of Consent album.
Mm-hmm.
And out of it fell a photo with a love letter written on it?
It's not so much a love letter. It says, Todd, Lord, this has been a year, hasn't it? It's finally over. We've had a lot of fun at the clubs, and the clubs is in, like, quotes, like, mm-hmm. kind of little seedy. But what fun is bound to continue? Let's make a pact to always keep that fun going between us. Good luck in the future, and then in quotes, keep on dancing. Love ya, Andy. Clubbies forever. I was listening to the Mark Almond and Bronski Beat like version of I Feel Love and mm-hmm. saw this on the floor of my like studio.
Yeah.
And like read it and like if you've never seen like a really sad like mod skinhead trans girl like crying while like Bronski Beat plays at like minus 20 BPM in her attic, like you might have seen it that day because this is literally like the most heart-wrenching thing I've ever seen in my life. Yeah.
I think you have the market cornered on that moment. You are the owner of that moment. You're not going to compete with anybody to have all of those elements happen because you're playing the record. You're slowing the Bronski Beat record down. That, you're probably the first person to do that on Earth. It's just be like, what happens if you slow these Bronski Beat records down? Well, Aaron, that is awesome. And Yeah, those records were it was crazy when Bronski Beat came out and kind of hit the scene with stuff like that, because everybody was like kind of, you know, I guess people were inferring their sexuality with things, but those guys were pretty.
No, they were so open about
yes,
it.
Exactly.
I know.
And there were so few artists who were doing that, that were having mainstream hits, with that being the core of who they were. So that record really was pretty shocking for that time. And then that video was really sad.
Oh, that video is so good.
Yeah,
that's comparatively the other single from one of the other singles from that record's video, the aforementioned Mark Almond and Bronski Beat mm-hmm. duet of "I Feel Love" mm-hmm. is absolutely terrible, like dreadful video.
I can't remember
like,
the video.
It's like, okay, so like the two members, Bronski and the other non-Jimmy Somerville member of Bronski Beat, are just like wearing suits and standing off in the corner with like little samplers and synths. And then Jimmy Somerville is wearing his like little like gay varsity twink outfit where he's got like the varsity jacket. And then uh-huh. Mark Almond is just like the real sleazy club daddy.
He always.
Like just look, and they sing this really like, like Jimmy's voice is beautiful, and then Mark is just like, "Oh, I feel yeah. good. I
His
feel
voice.
Good."
He might have. Maybe this is a topic we can talk about. The sleaziest voice in all of music. I think Mark Almond has to be like top three with that. Like everything with him sounds like it sounds like he's going to start breathing heavy into the in on
oh,
the record.
Yeah. That, so, like everything he says in that song, CD Films, is so yeah, good.
That's one of the all-time like, best albums.
I currently drive a Subaru, but I desperately wish I have a Chevy, so I had a Chevy, so I could call it the nonstop erotic Chevrolet.
Look, dare to dream. Dare to dream.
Did you celebrate Martin Gore's birthday accordingly this year?
I forgot to celebrate Martin Gore's birthday. Martin Gore from Depeche Mode's birthday. All right,
well,
we're going
to. Thank you for indulging my new
way. Of course.
You call. Have a nice night, everyone.
You call anytime. You call during the regular show, Aaron. I love talking to you.
Thank you. Take care. I appreciate that so much. You guys have a great night.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.
Hey, Tom.
Yeah?
What's the Bronski Beat?
What's Bronski Beat?
Yeah.
Do you not know the band Bronski Beat?
No idea.
Bronski Beat was a band in the early, mid-80s, like a British, part of the British synth movement, and they did that song, Small Town Boy, which is like, run away, turn away, turn away, run away, turn away. And they were so out, like they were just out when yeah. not a lot of people were out during that
okay.
period at all.
That's
they were
great.
Just like so declaratively gay, but were really popular also.
Yeah. Then
Jimmy Somerville left and formed the band The Communards.
Mm-hmm. Were they on an obscure label? I remember at one time I read a review for one of their albums, and mm-hmm. I was looking for it, and I don't think I ever found it. You know, it was kind of...
I think they were on, like, probably Sire here.
Uh-huh. Really?
When
they were on
by
Sire,
the time it
yeah.
came out here.
That sounds
yeah.
like a Sire band.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Synth stuff, Mike, did that ever mean anything to you?
Not really. I had Simple Minds
mm-hmm.
qualify. I'd get, like, maybe, you know, one album, give it a shot,
mm-hmm.
and then generally not get mm-hmm. another album, you know?
Sure. So if Bronski Beat, you were looking for them to do, like, if they did, like a space drums kind of thing, or, like...
Like I said,
Sugar Magnolia.
I think I saw a Robert Christgau review for one of their mm-hmm. things. He gave it like an A plus mm-hmm. or something. So it was on my radar, and I was kind of looking for it, but I could never find it. And mm-hmm. it just seemed like they were, you know, fairly obscure to me where I went. I couldn't find their stuff.
In terms of bands playing, doing electronics, what band do you like that comes to mind, Mike? Well, who's your favorite?
Well, I guess
Kraftwerk.
Would Brian Eno qualify?
Brian Eno, yeah, sure. Yeah. I mean, he kind of influenced. But I'm thinking the guys literally standing with the keyboard.
Kraftwerk, yeah.
Kraftwerk.
I got into them late, you know. Mm-hmm. I didn't really. A friend of mine was into them a lot.
The Pet Shop Boys. Do they mean anything to
I
you,
like,
Mike?
Yeah, yeah. I like the Pet Shop
I
Boys.
I love the Pet Shop
yeah,
Boys.
Yeah, they're good.
Pat, any of these bands mean anything to you?
Yaz.
Who's your, Yaz, yes.
I loved Yaz.
Yes. Yaz was the band that Vince Clark formed when he quit Depeche Mode. And yeah. Depeche Mode were in a full-on Sid Barrett, David Lee Roth type situation where the main dude right. bolted. And nobody thought they could do it.
For a second there, I was actually trying to think of a band that sounds like both Sid Barrett and David Lee Roth at the same time.
But think of it. After one album and change,
yeah.
this guy splits from Depeche Mode.
Out.
And these guys are like, what are we going to do? And then sudden, just like Pink Floyd, the one guy's like, yeah, I'll start writing some songs. Mm-hmm. And he starts. He writes all the hits.
What about the Joy Division into New Order, too?
Yes.
That's right.
Yeah.
Also two great electronic e-bands. Yeah.
Absolutely. Right? Kristen, you don't like this music.
I think I'm learning a lot from Stranger Things right now. Mm-hmm. Which takes place the year I was born.
Sure. I don't ruin anything for me on Stranger Things.
I'm not
going to
ruin anything, but
right
I like
now.
The music. Yeah.
I know somebody's going to ruin it for me.
I'm not going to say
I
anything.
I can feel it. I've seen two episodes. And you know what? I'm not saying you're going to ruin it.
No. Yeah, someone will. I think I'm five episodes in.
Because I said to some caller tonight.
Yeah.
It's like, don't ruin it. He's like, can I say one thing about it? No, you can't.
That's
he
ruining.
Said, can I ruin one
can I,
thing?
Can I ruin
can
one
I
thing
Can I ruin
about
one
it?
Thing
yes.
about it?
Yeah.
You want to ruin one
oh,
thing.
Oh, that's terrible.
Yeah. yeah. Can yeah. I ruin
sure.
one thing about it? Yeah.
Can I ruin one thing about it?
No.
No, I've got to talk about it. I like this red, the redhead. I like the redhead guys. The redhead smart friend. That's what I'm going to say. I like
Barb.
Her. I love Barb.
Everybody loves Barb.
Yeah, I don't know great. If people do love Barb or not.
Everybody loves Barb.
I haven't seen
the
one
world.
Yet, but I've been wanting to see it a lot.
Because
I think
of
the
Barb.
People of the world love Barb.
No, just because I hear it's great.
It's good.
Can I say that I? The only reason we're watching it is because I tricked Kristen into thinking it was a comedy?
Yeah. He did. He used that Freaks and Geeks thing that people are
yeah,
saying.
It's just like Freaks and Geeks.
And
yeah.
so I Same watched thing. It, and now I'm scared every night.
Mike?
Yes.
Stranger Things, have you seen any of this?
I just heard about it today, strangely enough.
It's on Netflix.
Yeah. Young kids are the sort
yeah,
of
just
main
watch.
Protagonist.
I think you might like mm-hmm.
you'll
probably
I think
hate
dig it.
Mike, mm-hmm. I think Michael hated it, actually.
John Reynolds is in it.
Oh.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Does he play a good guy or a bad guy?
Half Hour Power. You're on with AP Mike and Dudio and Kristen and Pat Byrne. I don't know who John
Hello.
Reynolds is.
He's great.
Welcome.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. My name's Randy from Oklahoma City.
What's up, Randy?
Oh, not much. I just got done playing a show with two really cool bands.
Okay. What's your band?
Urbane Ponytail.
Urban what?
Urbane
it's
Ponytail.
Urbane Ponytail. I feel like... Kind of like that.
Urbane Ponytail.
Yeah.
What do Urbane Ponytail sound like?
Sort of like unrest in between Malcolm X Park and Imperial.
All right. Look.
That's specific.
I'm with you on that, buddy.
Was look. It a good show?
It was a great show. The two bands, one was from Oakland and one was from Seattle. They were both great.
What band yeah, were they?
It was Dog Breath and Drawing Water.
Okay.
That sounds about right.
Look, I'm going to say this to you. First of all, you can't say your band sounds like Malcolm X Park, because every song on Malcolm X Park is different.
Yeah, fair enough.
So you're busted. Secondly, change the name Urbane Ponytail. I'm just telling you. I'm going to be a straight
he's
shooter
he's cool,
you.
He's 40, man. Come
what?
On.
What?
He's hip, he's cool, he's full.
All right, goodbye.
he got the quote wrong, too. Yeah.
The quote, what is that from?
Yeah, he's hip, he's cool, he's 45, is a Kids in the Hall sketch.
Okay. You shouldn't name your thing after any sketch thing with a band. Right? You need a classy name like Bridge and Tunnel.
Oh, there you go.
It's elegant. Simple. Yeah.
Rolls strong. Right off the tongue.
It's strong.
Yeah.
Evocative.
Yep.
It's not like you guys have some cornball name.
No. Right? No, it isn't a cornball name.
I think it's a great name.
Thank you.
Welcome to the Half Hour Power.
Hello, this is Jeff from Austin.
Jeff.
Everyone's doing all right?
We're doing well, too. Hi, what's Jeff. Going on, Jeff?
I just have a quick panel question.
Go.
I would like to know what everyone, like the band they like the best but has the worst name, like their favorite band that has the worst name.
Mm. You know what? I was actually thinking about this today when I was walking back to my car. We were testing the server, and I was playing T-Rex, and I've been listening to the album The Slider a lot.
Such a good record.
Right? It's like a perfect record. I was listening to a lot this week, and I was walking in the car, and I was just like, T-Rex? I'm like, that is the dumbest name for, like, the greatest band. And, like, Mike, what? Like, was that Mark Bolan's call, do you think? He's like, and it's got to be called T-Rex. Like, well, it makes no sense.
When they started off, they were hippy dippy. Okay. Band, and they were called Tyrannosaurus Rex.
Yeah, yeah, and then Tyrannosaurus Rex.
But then they got kind of, when they were getting a little glammy, right. And he wanted to shed that hippie-ish part, then they made it T-Rex.
I could see that. It still
but
seems...
But it's still, look, Tyrannosaurus Rex, not a great name for a band
exactly.
either.
Yeah. Hawkwind isn't a very good name.
Yeah.
And I love Hawkwind.
I think
Hawkwind... It seems like it describes them well, though.
Yeah, you're right. For the music, it doesn't match.
Yeah.
At all, but
Mike.
I mean, I love the band, and they did all right with the name. But I always thought Pavement was kind of, you know, a nondescript, you know, name.
Yeah.
Could have been a little
sure
jazzier.
Mm-hmm. What about the band? The band.
Well, yeah. Well, that's your classic. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The band.
Anyone come to mind for you, Tom?
One of my favorites is this band Hypno Love Wheel, who were from New York and New Jersey, and that I think that's a name they probably wish they like. It just doesn't match the records. The records are so great, and I think the name makes it sound more like they're like some novelty band, and that they're not a novelty band at all.
Mm-hmm.
I got a contemporary one, Diarrhea Planet.
Yeah, that's
terrible. Wow. Just awful.
Yeah.
That's the winner.
Is another one.
What's that, Jeff?
Pissed Jeans.
That's better, but it's still, but nothing is worse than Diarrhea Planet.
No.
Yeah. Pissed Jeans feels rock and roll. Diarrhea Planet just sounds like a problem.
Yeah.
Because, I guess like Hawkwind describes Hawkwind's music, Pissed Jeans describes Pissed Jeans' music.
Yeah. Because with Diarrhea Planet, I saw them on Seth Meyers a month or so ago, and I mean, they have 5 guitarists, I think, right?
Yeah.
Is it something like that?
Yeah.
It's like the dumbest spectacle ever, but then they have that name, and you're just like, I can't... This could be the greatest band in history, and I can't listen to Diarrhea... I can't be like, First of all, their merch sales must be non-existent.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Or enormous. It's one or the other.
Yeah.
Either they sell less shirts than any band at that level, or more shirts than any band. Kristen, any name jump out at you that you just look at this and you're just like, that does not fit?
I mean, it's not that it doesn't fit, but I do feel embarrassed talking to normal people about the New Pornographers.
That is a name that evokes things and people can't. They're not sure what that means.
Yeah, if they don't know it, they're not going to understand it. So, you know, if I'm talking to my mom, I can't talk
or
about...
Coworker.
Yeah. A coworker. You can't talk about the New Pornographers to a coworker.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think, yeah.
As far as we
Even
know...
Even though they're, like, a lovely, like...
Yeah.
And it totally acceptable.
As far as we know, was there a band called the Pornographers? I don't...
Tom would know.
I hope so.
But I think their thing comes down to what they consider to be the new pornography
of course.
Of America.
Yeah, yeah.
And of culture or something like that, if I remember correctly.
But there's probably some band.
They were the new... Yeah. Somebody had to have been called the Pornographers. Mm-hmm. There's no way. Jeff, you have one?
Yeah, well, I have two. I would say this isn't a band I love, but I like them well enough. Is We Were Promised Jetpacks. It's probably the worst band name.
Yeah, that's a rough one.
You know, just terrible. Oh. Just dorky. And, you know, actually, I think the Beatles, it's like the Beatles spelled it just as the insect, but
band.
Like with the clever QT title, they sort of outgrew that.
Oh, yeah. No. Game. The Beatles should have been shown the door so early, and they were not supposed to become what they became. Like,
right.
Yeah.
Because everybody was just so disposable at that point, and they were just like a early boy band, basically, where they were cute.
Right.
And they were catchy. And then they turned into this other thing. It evolved into this other thing. But, yeah, that name, the Beatles, does not fit anything past 1965.
Right.
Not really.
What's the other one, Jeff? Oh, you said both. We were promised Jetpacks was the other one. All right, buddy. Thanks.
Go ahead.
Half hour power.
Hi, Tom.
You're here with AP Mike and Dudio and Pat Byrne and Kristen Bartlett.
Hi. Hi, everyone.
Hello.
What's up?
Hello. So, Tom, I wanted to call and see if you had caught word of the 1 million Juggalo March.
Oh, yeah.
I missed the million Juggalo March.
Isn't that happening in September, though?
Right. It's happening.
Yeah, it's coming up this September.
I thought it was September 2017.
Or they need an extra full year to plan it. I think you're right. I think it is September 2017.
It's a lot of makeup.
I think they're gathering the Juggalos.
Yes. Well, and what is that? What is the point of them doing that? Is it just to let everybody know that they exist?
It's so they're basically marching against the FBI classifying them as a gang.
Mm-hmm. Radiohead perform Let Down for the first time in a decade. I saw them do it live.
That was probably the last time that they did it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Some in Philly, I think they did it in Philly.
Was that?
It was good.
The funniest part.
One day I will go to bar.
See, I think I think you're a nut. Mule more. It's got to be more like
a...
It's like a muling. That's what, you know. But I love it, you know. I like them.
I am going to grow wings. I don't know. Did you scream when they did that?
I did get pretty excited when they did that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'm going to sell you out, dude.
No, I got excited for like five songs.
No, I know. I know the score with him.
Yeah.
He's not Mr. Radiohead.
He texted me that he was bored.
Yeah.
Well, it can be boring. Any band. I'll say this about any band. I'll go see a band, my favorite band. But then a half hour in, it's like, they're not going to suddenly play Upside Down all of a sudden. Right. They're going to stand there. They're going to stand pretty much where they're standing and playing things, and it just becomes, you just listen at a point. Unless they start doing stunts or something that they incorporate later into the show.
Then
it's just, you saw it already.
Right. How often, though, do you go to a show and you're standing there or you're sitting there and you're and about 10 minutes in, maybe 30 minutes in, you're thinking to yourself, oh, man, I wish I was home.
I was watching the amount that you were tweeting, and I was just like, all right, like something's going on.
We've gotten to the point where we have, like, we look at each other, Irby in, and we're like, oh, this was a mistake.
You can do the look.
This was bad.
The last time I saw Springsteen, I was watching Chris Christie more than I was watching Springsteen, because I was like, that guy's having more fun than I am. Like, guys.
Dude's got moves.
Yeah, he does.
He does have moves.
Yeah.
The funniest part about the Juggalo March is that they're playing in Bristow, Virginia at the Jiffy Lube Live Amphitheater.
So that's where it all
sounds like a joke, but I looked it up, and it's a real thing.
Well, that's the latest sponsor of that amphitheater. Yeah. That amphitheater's been known as many things.
Yeah.
We saw a bunch of Juggalos on a small world at Disney World.
Yes, we did.
A whole big ride.
There was a whole big boat of Juggalos.
A boat of Juggalos. So they're corporate. They're corporate. Mm.
Yeah.
Well, Mike. Jiffy Lube.
All right, buddy. I got to move it along. We got to wrap this up. Thanks for calling. Mike, what's a show you were just like, I got to get out of here? Like where you were watching, even if it's something you like. It's not even like you disliked it, but you're just like, okay, I get it. I want to go.
Well, with my new, several part-time job things going on, I'm being exposed to music that I wouldn't go to the shows.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the past two weekends, I had, last week I had Coldplay for two nights at MetLife Stadium, and then this week it was Guns N' Roses.
So without getting specific, but you've worked at venues and you hear these live.
Yeah.
You see you're there when these shows are going mm-hmm. on that you would never normally go to as a spectator.
Yeah, but it is interesting just to people watch and just mm-hmm. see the differences between the fans. Mm-hmm. You know, of course Coldplay was a very, very polite. Everybody paid with the credit card. No tips. Very, very few tips. Cheapskates.
Yeah. Right, because it's all credit card, right?
They don't have cash. None of these people have cash on them.
Yeah.
But then
Guns N' Roses. More cash grab. I'm going to say that's probably
it's coins.
Yeah, that's a lot of like Susan B. Anthony.
And talk about tailgating. You know, the differences in tailgating. Yeah. I mean, Coldplay, mm-hmm. almost non-existent tailgating going on.
Yeah.
And then for the first Guns N' Roses show, which there were 30 arrests made that night, I didn't see any.
Yeah, I heard about that on 1010 Wins.
Yeah, yeah. But arrests? The parking lot was full before I got there. Mm-hmm. And I get there early for, the workers start early before they even open the stadium. And they were already at it, almost a full parking lot tailgating.
So when you get there, you're selling, like these people, if they're getting drinks or whatever, they might be getting their last drink at the show of the night, like in a way, like they're already so deep into it.
And we shut down before the show finishes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Was the crowd insane? Were people just losing their marbles at that show?
Yeah. There was some sporadic. All guys, yeah. Although, there was a fair amount of women. It wasn't like skewed toward more guys there. But more guys would erupt just with like, rah! Or they start running with a beer in their hand and the beer just goes flying.
Uh-huh.
I saw that going on. And the weirdest thing I saw was that the fans try to emulate that classic look that Axel had with the flannel shirt tied around your middle.
Yeah, around the waist.
The biker shorts.
I didn't see. No, that would have made sense in the heat, right?
Oh, yeah.
These people are wearing this flannel shirt just for the effect, in 90 plus heat. And it's just like, was that necessary just to get that look? And he wore it on stage. I mean, I did see, I watched some clips when I got home. You're not allowed to go out and watch the show.
You can hear all of it.
I could hear it, and it's not real loud. It's, it's sort of muffled. But you could hear, and they space out. To me, that band was good for three songs, and they really space them out just to keep you, they don't put them all at the end.
Yeah.
They space them out. So you get Welcome to the Jungle fairly early in the set.
Mm-hmm.
You got Sweet Child of Mine, after eight. this was the most bizarre moment of the show, was a Slash solo that went on for quite a bit. But as part of the solo, he does a sort of ramped-up version of the Godfather theme.
Yeah.
And, it's like, all right. It sounds like some twit at a guitar shop,
That's in Slash's contract. To do that solo within that the Guns N' Roses.
I mean, I'm listening to it and it's like, really?
He's going.
And then they build to the whole band kicking in to play it. And then it went into Sweet Child of Mine. And then, of course, Paradise City was the last song. So they, to me, those are like their three songs.
Yeah, exactly.
And they just kind of space it out.
What about November Rain?
November Rain was played. You know, the
Bring the Piano Out.
The big covers were played, Live and Let Die and Knocking on Heaven's Door. And everything sounded just the way you've heard them all these years. There was no, like, fresh take on the songs. It was just kind of played. This is what people want. We're going to play it the way they know it. Let's not get them, you know, too crazy. But, yeah, it was interesting, though.
And they tipped better?
Oh, yeah, they were good tippers. You know, they were constantly asking me, where's my tip jar? And and I said, we take tips. We can't put tip jars out, you know?
But
we take tips, yeah.
Good. So, and Mike, first of all, Pat, tomorrow.
Yes.
Prove It All Night Live. At the WFMU Performance Space, your weekly radio show is a monthly live show. And tomorrow, Saturday, July 30th, the second anniversary. Congratulations on the second anniversary of Prove It All Night. And the live show, Karaoke All Night. And you have special guests like Dave Hill and Brett Davis will be at this. And who else is that?
Sunshine and the Rain, former guest of this show.
Yes, and Julio Torres will be at this.
Very funny guy.
And I will be at it.
That's right.
How about that? Get ready.
And for anybody who enjoyed that Guns N' Roses discussion, it is part of the big finale. I'm gonna give a big hint here, and it ties into that. So get ready. If you're if you show up, you'll have a big surprise if you like Guns N' Roses.
All right, Mike.
Yes,
you've always have a nose out for the unusual and the left of center. Is there anything?
I thought maybe we're winding down here, but I thought maybe I'd just tease the audience with, I had jury duty, and I failed. You know, I mean, the whole reason, the whole thing about jury is not to end up on a jury.
Yes.
And I failed, and I ended up on a jury.
And you did how many days?
I did six altogether. I mean, I did 3 days the first week where they selected the jury. And they went through, believe it or not, they went through about two pools of jurors, so like almost like 200 people, and before they got the jury. And so that took 3 days. And then the next week was 3 days for the trial. And it was an interesting experience. You know, I'll go into detail another time. But, you know, it is somewhat comical just to see how desperate people are not to get selected. You know, I mean, that's pretty much the fun part of jury duty.
Yeah.
You know, watching people go through contortions to get out of serving on a trial. Yeah. And
what do you think made you an attractive juror?
I still don't know. You know, it's a bit of a mystery to me. You know, you think like, you know, you're trying to come up reasons, because I was in the jury box for a while, and they're throwing people off left and right. I tried to be like, you know, one of the things, they have questionnaires, and, you know, you have to stand up and talk about yourself. At one point, you know, when you stand up in the jury box, they ask you about your television viewing habits. And, I already had like I was like trying to think, what'll get me thrown off, you know? And I'm thinking like, well, my favorite three shows are Cops, the first 48, and then I'd throw in Impractical Jokers just to, you know, make it clear, like, not too obvious, you know? And
this drives me nuts.
But
this drives me so nuts is you didn't go for it.
I know. I didn't go for it.
Those are the answers that they would want. You didn't even get a chance to say it.
Yeah, I was, in retrospect, it was a dismal failure. The other thing they did during this trial, which was different than other times I've been on jury duty, was that they spoke privately to you at first before you got into the jury box. You filled out a questionnaire, and then you sat down with the judge and the two lawyers in like a private little chat, you know, sidebar. And so other people couldn't hear what you're saying. And that, I was thinking, well, why are they doing it that way? And I'm thinking like, well, maybe somebody's going to say something, you know, respond a certain way, and then everybody else is just going to do it to get excused, you know, like they'll just copycat what that guy said. But then when I was in the jury box, I could actually kind of overhear the conversations. And they're basically, people would get up. One of the questions was, can you be fair and impartial? And people would just say no. And then the judge would say, thank you for your honesty. you're excused. Yeah. It was that simple. And I'm kicking myself. I'm like, what? You know, why didn't I just do that? You know,
no, I can't be fair and impartial. Also, but I just wanna say, the judge just realizes.
Yeah,
sit back down.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'll say this: partway through tonight, Mike reaches into his shirt pocket and pulls out his juror badge.
Yeah, I like going forward, Tom, if you could call me the juror or you know, if
so you're
think,
like the counselor.
Or yeah, yeah, it's got a ring to it, right?
The juror.
Or how about juror number 6? That was my number. Ooh. And I'll say this, the other thing is, and I don't know if people do this intentionally or they just don't, you know, they show up like slobs at jury duty.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like one woman who made it onto the jury was wearing a Captain America t-shirt when she, you know, got made the jury. And I'm like, was that her thing? She was like, she looked like, she wanted to look like she just rolled out of bed. But that did, it backfired on her, you know, because she made the jury too.
That's patriotism.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Pat, have you ever been on a jury?
I didn't get called. I went for the first time about 6 months ago. I went down and it wasn't like you described, and I guess that was in Bayonne, or was that in the same place?
No, yeah, Jersey City.
Really? I don't remember them pulling me aside. And
well, that was different. I think this judge does it differently.
Oh, okay, so each judge is different. Yeah, I didn't get called, but I thought about when I didn't get picked, I thought about standing up and just screaming, I will go as tribute! Make sure I could never, I would never go back.
Yeah, you're looking for you're looking for them to put a mark next to your name.
Exactly.
In circle on the computer.
Underline.
Yeah. And then you're like, I never get asked to go on jury duty anymore. But I also, when I fly, they always pull me aside and it takes 3 hours before I can get onto any plane.
Yeah.
That did happen to me in Canada, but I'll save it for another half hour. Boy. Power.
Jason, jury duty.
I have been called twice, but I've never had to serve, which is wonderful.
Did you make it into the jury box? Or
I never made it.
Okay.
So I went up to Hudson once, and I sat in that really weird waiting room with like the church pews.
And then were they playing HGTV on the giant screens?
No, they were playing this.
I remember that.
They were playing this, here's how the law works video over and over. And then the second time I called the office, so you call the number and it says you don't have to come.
Yeah.
And then I called.
They had enough
the next
people,
day.
Yeah. Or whatever. So
I called the office the next day, and a woman answered, and she said, "Well, you know, I don't really think that you're going to have to come in. I wouldn't, you know, because I was going to have to defer because I was starting a new job.
Sure.
And the woman said, "Hey, just do it because if you have jury duty on these certain days, I think it was Thursday and Friday, you never have to serve." So I'm good for 3 years.
Yeah.
Kristen, jury duty. Have you been on a jury?
I've never been on a jury. I've been called and then dismissed early, and they haven't even gotten to ask me a question. But I went. I like psyched myself into it and got excited, thinking that I was going to help somebody or be like the decider, and they didn't want me to decide anything.
Well, that's the thing. You know what that is?
What's that?
They can tell you want it too bad.
Yeah, I hear right? that.
So they feel. So that's they feel
a
it.
Good trick.
They so, probably looked at it. There's just like, this lady.
She's going to take it too serious.
The defense yeah. threw you off or the prosecutor?
I didn't even make it. Oh. Like, they didn't even call me in. Oh, 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 I just okay. waited in the room for half a day.
Oh, okay.
They probably watched through, like, a little window.
And just saw me, like, yeah. really paying attention to the video.
And they're like, no.
Yeah. Don't let her in.
She wants it. Juror 146.
I'll tell you what I don't want, though. In Jersey, like, you have to go and do the state. Like, it's either the city jury duty mm-hmm. or you can have to go somewhere else.
Mm-hmm. And for, like, a grand jury or something yeah. like that, yeah. Mm-hmm.
That is something I would hate. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I've so never had that. So now I'm going to get that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've never had that one. Tom?
I hope they don't.
I've never made it to the box.
Mm-hmm.
I've been in the courtroom, and they've brought me up, and I've had to answer the questionnaire. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, I answered it like an insane person, where they weren't sure whether I was pro-cop or anti-cop, or they're not even sure.
What did you say?
I was just saying how I couldn't be partial about a lot of these things. And mm-hmm. some of them I couldn't be. I cannot be impartial about some of those things.
Mm-hmm. Okay, fair.
I mean, I was not lying with certain things. It's just mm-hmm. like, yeah, I actually would make my mind up before any of this. Like, I was sitting in that courtroom, and I was watching the defendant, and I was just like, this dude's so guilty. Like, yeah. As we're sitting there, as yeah. he's watching the people be called, I'm just like, this dude is a scumbag. I was like, what a piece of trash. This dude should be in jail. Yeah. Like, and he was like, I could see, I noticed out of his, like, he had like an attaché, like a lawyer bag, like right. a bag he had. And I could see, like, he had his smokes sticking out of it. I'm just like, you trash. You can't even put your cigarettes out of sight for so a thing. Guilty.
So you were just glaring at him. I couldn't stop staring at him.
And he wasn't wearing socks either. He was wearing, like
loafers.
Boat yeah, shoes. Yeah.
Oh, wait a minute. That might have been.
We might have been in the same courtroom.
I had a lawyer who didn't wear socks either. And
well, this was the defendant.
Oh, the defendant. Okay.
He was sitting there.
Yeah, lawyers don't have to wear socks.
Shaking his knee, and I just looked, and I could see he had no socks on, and I could see his cigarette sticking out.
When you were answering?
Your Honor, guilty. This man is guilty.
Give him the chair.
Oh, was that the first thing you said when you were?
I said, Your Honor, this is the most guilty person I've ever seen in my life. No punishment is too good for this.
These are good strategies they'll probably employ the next time.
You just say, Your Honor. This is what you should say, Mike, in all seriousness. For you, you just say, Your Honor, I'm a wild card. I'm telling you right now, I have no idea what I'm going to do. If I wake up on the wrong side of the bed, I'm going to say as guilty as can be. And if I could come in the next day and say this person is is not guilty, and I could change my mind at the flip of a coin, and I'm for sale.
I'm just for sale. Just to anybody who's out there in the audience.
Anybody, you want to meet with me?
With your arms up.
Yeah, you meet with me? I know I'm not supposed to say this.
I'll be at the Blimpies for my lunch hour.
Yeah, exactly. I'll be at the Blimpies. My verdict, my ruling is for sale.
I got an office at the Blimpies.
I'll be holding an auction. I'll be
the highest bidder?
Yeah, I'll be conducting an auction at the Blimpies. At 5 p.m.
These are good strategies. Yeah. I wish I had this advice earlier.
Do it in 3 years.
All right, we should end this.
Okay. Next time, I'll go into the case itself.
Okay.
It's interesting.
Are you allowed to?
Now I can.
And I'm going to talk in general. I'm not going to use names or anything, you know?
Mm-hmm. But now you can talk about it. You can't mention a thing about it while it's happening, but now you can.
Yeah, yeah.
Everybody, thanks for listening to the Half Hour Power, and thank you to AP Mike. He's over at Masses on Sunday, apmike.bandcamp.com. Get the Masses shirts. Pat Byrne this Saturday, karaoke all night, the second anniversary of Prove It All Night live at the WFMU Performance Space. You can go to facebook.com/Prove It All Night Show to get information on that. your show would have happened already.
Yeah, that's technically yesterday.
How was it?
Oh, man, I hope it... I am pretty sure it was great.
Didn't you hear?
What?
Oh, no.
Oh, Jesus, no.
Well, you'll find out.
Oh, God.
It was the greatest comedy show in the history of comedy.
That's what I thought.
For you to be that humble about it shocked me. Everybody, thanks for listening to Half Hour Power.
Thanks,
bye.
Tom. Bye. Bye.